Welcome to the End Zone, where we're here to bring you the latest in football action, mediocre fantasy football advice, and also our chance to vent and be happy and hopefully find all the positives for everything going on in the NFL. Kevin, I had a good week. I'm not going to lie. I was rolling with my homies. It was a fun weekend.
You should be very excited. If you're a Chiefs fan, you have a lot to be excited about.
I have to ask you because I'm not trying to be negative here because I saw a lot of positives from your Raiders, especially in week one and that Monday night game against Denver. And even in the Kansas City game where you guys really did hold us down for three quarters. We had the big explosion in the second quarter, but you guys really shut down our run game. And it just, and I get, you know, the Raiders are still in a rebuilding mode and stuff, but honestly, what happened this weekend? Because I was shocked. I was legitimately shocked. But I heard you talking about this. Did the Raiders get hit with some injuries this weekend?
Yeah, there's injuries obviously, and people not playing at 100%. But a lot of people want to jump on Carr because he was reverting to these short, you know, dink and dunk passes and stuff like that, and not going for the long ball and the defense just could not stop the run. It was a step back. You know, I feel like we took a huge step forward and now we've taken two huge step backs. And it's very frustrating for Raider fans because a lot of people want to go back to the typical blaming Gruden and blaming Carr and all that kind of stuff. And I'm not having that personally. I think we were hoping to maybe have like an 8-8 season, definitely do better than 4-12. Those are still a possibility. I was not expecting to make the playoffs. I was not expecting to win the Super Bowl. I was just expecting them to be more competitive, and signs of that are starting to wane right now.
Well, what I want to ask is because from what I've seen, it does look like you are finding a couple of pieces of legitimate talent early in the season, though, between your rookie running back, Josh Jacobs, who I know is banged up. He's got a groin issue. Apparently, he was talking about, hey, he was suffering from the flu and lost 10 pounds over the week. But it looks like you've also found a pretty interesting reclamation project at tight end to a guy who could be turning into maybe one of those next generation of tight ends.
Darren Waller, yes. He's becoming the safety net for Derek Carr right now, which includes those small little dink and dunk passes, you know. But getting those crucial first downs, that's what you got to do. Tyrell Williams did find the end zone, but it was more in junk time. But he did find the end zone, which was nice. His third straight game with a touchdown. But, yeah, Darren Waller is becoming the go-to guy, and I would say the number two receiver for the Raiders. Although after last week's game, it could have been number one receiver, the way you look at it.
Yeah. Granted, Minnesota is always a very tough place to go. Minnesota plays very good defense as well. And you know what? I have been highly impressed with Dalvin Cook at the beginning of the season. He was making some moves that would have left anybody out of their shoes in that game.
Yeah, and it seemed like our defense was on the ground all the time. And he was not just Dalvin Cook, but his backup, too. I'm forgetting the guy's name. He got a lot of play, too. They were just carving up our defense. It's frustrating because we've just started this massive road trip where we're not going to be back for a home game until November, you know, just like Tampa Bay is, you know.
Yeah.
So it's frustrating. It's tough to stay positive. You lose two in a row, and you're starting this massive road trip. And we knew the road trip was going to be tough anyway. It would just be nice to be competitive within these games, and that's not what has happened in the last two games.
Well, at least in the fact of the Kansas City game, even I have to admit, I thought our offense was going to take a little bit of a step back between just a little bit of drop off at running back play, especially with Damian Williams hurt, LeSean McCoy kind of banged up, Tyreek Hill out. And I've got to admit, we were talking about emerging prospects. We've got a couple of wide receivers that have really emerged, and third-year wide receiver DeMarcus Robinson and our top pick, which was a second-round pick, Mecole Hardman, who I think they clocked him at 21.4 miles per hour on his 82-yard touchdown this week.
It's not just that, too, but it seems like whoever's your running back seems to be productive as well. And you have a lot of pieces there that are strong.
Yeah, I have to say, this is all kidding aside. I think you can see Patrick Mahomes has taken another step from where he was last year. Not so much, I mean, his play on the field is still his play on the field, but you can tell he just feels a lot more confident, and he's not afraid to be a little bit more assertive with his team this year. There were several plays, for instance, the play that clinched the game against Baltimore this week, which was a screenplay, was a play Patrick Mahomes called in the huddle, not Andy Reid. And there was times where he got in Andy Reid's face a little bit, and I think deservedly so, because at the end of half, Andy Reid's clock management was terrible. They had enough clock to go for, and a timeout. They could have made one more attempt at the end zone. Instead, they ended up kicking a field goal, and you could tell Patrick was not real unhappy with that. But I'm glad to see that kind of leadership coming from him as well. So we've got a lot to be excited about with the Kansas City Chiefs. And I think, Kevin, too, I know there's a lot of work to do for the Raiders, but I think as you go along, you're going to start seeing some of these younger players that they've drafted over this year and last year especially, once they get a little bit more feel for the league, you're going to have some positive things to start looking forward as building blocks for. I honestly do think that the league definitely has screwed you guys over with the schedule, and I think that was one of the biggest knocks the Raiders had going into this season.
It's frustrating when your team starts to show the sign of, oh, they've been riddled with injuries all year. And that's what it's starting to feel like. The Raiders picked up a kid off of the Rams practice squad, a linebacker. That's how harsh things are turning, you know. I'm trying to see the kid's name here. Rookie linebacker off the Rams practice squad is right here. I'm trying to remember his name. It's not coming up right now. But, here it is. Linebacker Dakota Allen, 6'1", 232-pound linebacker, was drafted in the seventh round by the Rams of this year's NFL draft. And Raiders picked him up. So I don't know what that's going to mean. But I hate it when your team is trying to gel and become this cohesive unit with this careful drafting and trading and all that kind of stuff. And then it's thrown out the window because of injuries. You know, we already lost Jonathan Abram, which sucks. Well, anyway, I don't want to talk about it anymore. I'm getting depressed.
Yeah, no, while Kevin goes trying to find himself some Prozac or Xanax or something like that, I'm going to tell you where you can find not only the end zone, but all the great shows here on the Fan and Podcast Network. And it starts at our homepage at fpnet.podbean.com. Of course, you can also use the Podbean app and just search for the Fan and Podcast Network. Of course, you can also find the Fan and Podcast Network on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play for you Android device users, Spotify as well. Of course, follow us on Facebook go to Fandom Podcast Network, give our page a like. You can email us directly at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. You can follow us on Instagram, Fandom Podcast Network, on Twitter at FanPod Network. You can follow me on Twitter at AKyleW or on Instagram at Rollin' With Mahomies, or actually it's really AKyleFandom. Kevin, where can people find you on social media?
Twitter and Instagram at Spartan_Phoenix.
And of course, too, we'd love to get your support via TeePublic, where you can find all the great gear of the Fan and Podcast Network, whether you're looking for mugs, T-shirts, laptop holders, phone cases, stickers, whatever. It's all at our TeePublic store at teepublic.com. Search for the Fan and Podcast Network, or you can type in the name of any of the shows here on the Fan and Podcast Network, and it'll take you directly to the gear for that show. And finally, too, we'd love to have your feedback, especially on Apple Podcasts or iTunes. We love to get those 5-star reviews, of course, but we love feedback in general so we can make better podcasts for you to listen to and enjoy. With that, Kevin, let's start with one piece of news that I want to get it out of our system, so and then we can be hopefully finally over and done with that, is that Antonio Brown is now out of the league, released by the Patriots after some texts came up of him threatening tones to one of the people who has been accusing him of some of the misconduct he has been related to. That came out within 24 hours. The Patriots released him. Kevin, hopefully we are done with Antonio Brown in the National Football League.
Yeah, he said that he's quitting the NFL, enrolled in some online courses. He tweeted saying, how can you trust these owners when they don't, adhere to the guaranteed money? And I just want to say to Antonio that you are become an expert at blaming everyone else for your problems and not taking responsibility for yourself. I believe that he has what I call a 90s MC Hammer entourage that are complete yes men and yes women. And he needs to listen to people that need to tell him not what he wants to hear, but what he needs to hear. And I hope that he finds some help.
Yeah, I truly believe at this point Antonio Brown has something going on and he needs some help, and I hope he can find that. But right now, there's no place for you in the NFL, and there's no place for somebody like you in the NFL.
He'll be back next year with someone, I'm sure.
We'll see what happens. He's got a lot on his plate he needs to deal with first and foremost. But with that, let's take a look back, Kevin, at what happened in week 3 of the NFL. So give me, if you will bear with me for one moment here. We kind of talked about our Chiefs, my Chiefs and your Raiders. But you know what? I think this NFL season is all about what happened. The guy who shined on Thursday Night Football this past week, Gardner Minshew II and his 1970s mustache.
Gardner Mustache Minshew.
Yes. Threw 2 touchdowns, led the Jacksonville Jaguars to a 27 win. Here's a guy who was a sixth-round pick out of Washington State. Everybody was like, who? And he's playing. Believe it or not, he is actually has better rookie numbers than Peyton Manning did his rookie season at this point.
Yeah, and won convincingly on Thursday night. We'll get to more in the individual things, but what's fun about this week was all of the new quarterbacks that we got to see.
Yeah, and we're gonna talk about that. But let's go down. Let's run down real quick here. We got the Lions with a bit of an upset over the Philadelphia Eagles. This was a crazy game.
It was. Lions are 2-0-1 right now, and Lions, yeah, third consecutive win versus the Eagles. That was a fun game. But Eagle players need to know how to hold on to that ball.
Yeah, and just a lot of things there. But moving on, Patriots took care of the Jets, but you know what? The Patriots are upset because they gave up 14 points to the Jets.
Yes.
But they still haven't given up a touchdown on defense. One was a special teams fumble, and the other one was off of a turnover.
That's right. Yeah.
We talked about the Vikings and the Raiders. I will say this. Dalvin Cook is looking really impressive. This is a guy who's had 2 straight years of some really bad injuries. So I hope he can stay healthy and do that. Make it look good there. Kansas City over beating the Ravens in a very interesting coach game by John Harbaugh on how he handled his extra points, Kevin, going for 2 when he really didn't need to go for 2 on several occasions that made the score a little funky. Jacoby Brissett leading the Colts as they upset the Falcons. 27-24. The Falcons just don't look right at all, Kevin.
No, and they haven't, especially since they gave up that 25-point lead in the Super Bowl a few years ago.
Yeah, they just haven't been the same. The Denver Broncos fall to the Green Bay Packers. Shocking stat here, Kevin. The Denver Broncos, who everybody thought they were going to be just this amazing defensive team, have yet to record a sack or a turnover this season.
Yep. Von Miller and Chubb, come on.
And an interesting game in the aspect of there was a point where at halftime the Dolphins could have actually had the lead in this game, but the Cowboys ended up taking care of the Dolphins and winning 31-6. The poor Miami Dolphins.
Dak Prescott, fastest Cowboy QB to reach 75 career passing TDs. I think he wants to get paid.
Yeah, I think he does too. Now, Kevin, I want to ask you, are you willing to join Bob on the Bills bandwagon? Because the Bills are 3-0 with a 21-17 comeback victory against the Cincinnati Bengals. Are we hopping on the Josh Allen train?
Well, yeah, I've been excited. I root for the Bills in honor of my buddy Bob because You know, Bob's a lifetime Bills fan, and he's seen plenty of heartbreak with the Bills. Also, you want to see another team in the AFC East challenge for that. And you're going to see the Bills play the Patriots next week. And you want to root for someone other than the Patriots, you know, to a certain degree. So,
yep. In a very interesting NFL game, the debut of Danny Dimes Jones, the Giants come back from 18 down at halftime to win 32-31, thanks in part to the fact that the Buccaneers have an eternal kicker curse placed upon them.
Yep. Daniel Jones threw some TDs and ran for some TDs.
Yeah, he was very impressive. I had a busy weekend. Did you know I was playing quarterback for the Carolina Panthers?
Do we mention now about what happened to Saquon Barkley, though? He could be out for a while.
We got that in news. I got that in news. Okay, so we'll talk about that.
Okay.
I had a busy week. I was starting quarterback for the Panthers? I was just going by my middle name and not my actual last name. Kyle Allen had a huge weekend for the Panthers.
Kyle Allen Wagner, you get in here and do those dishes, son.
Dad, I got to go play quarterback. He threw four touchdowns himself. A little help from Christian McCaffrey and the fact that the Cardinals are the Cardinals.
A little help from Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah. As they fall to 0-2-1 and the Panthers get their first win of the season, 38-20, the San Francisco 49ers and Jimmy GQ are 3-0, Kevin, as they beat Mason Rudolph and the Pittsburgh Steelers, who fall to 0-3. I'm thinking Miami's really liking that Micah Fitzpatrick trade from last week.
I know, right? So yeah. 49ers, I got to give it to them. Jeez, good for them.
They're playing well. The Saints, first win without Drew Brees as a starter since 2005. Teddy Bridgewater leads them to victory over the Seattle Seahawks. I got a quick trivia question for you.
Wasn't this in Seattle?
It was in Seattle, yes. Quick trivia question for you. Before this Teddy Bridgewater win, who was the last quarterback not named Drew Brees to win to start a game and win it for the New Orleans Saints?
Manning?
No. Let's see how good your football memory is. Aaron Brooks.
Oh, my God, Aaron Brooks.
Wow. Wasn't he a Raiders quarterback for a while?
Yes, he was. Yes, he was. So,
and always a beautiful thing. The Houston Texans beat the Los Angeles Chargers 27-20. So,
how are you feeling about those Chargers doing well this year, Kyle?
You talk about injuries at the Raiders. The Chargers have been killed by some injuries too, but I don't care. I'm always happy when the Chargers lose.
Me too.
Sunday night, in maybe one of the strangest coach games I've ever seen in my life, the Rams beat the Browns 20-13, but I don't know if Freddie Kitchens should have ever been made a head coach after what I saw from the Browns on Sunday night.
Do you want to be specific on that?
Clock management, 4th and 9, and you run a draw play. Mitchell Trubisky finally decided to show up for the NFL season as he threw 3 touchdown passes on Monday night to lead the Bears to victory 31-15 over the Washington Redskins.
Yep. Chris Thompson getting love there. No Adrian Peterson love.
And there's no Washington Redskins love, period, I don't think.
Well, except for Scorn McCarron as their nickname in him.
Yeah. I'm just going to say this. I think Jay Gruden will look good in on the Las Vegas sidelines next year. So with that, let's talk about the power rankings.
All right.
Yes, I know. Still coming in at number one on the CBSSports.com power rankings, the New England Patriots. What are you going to say? Coming in at number two, and this is the only power rankings, I have investigated this, that has the Green Bay Packers coming in at number two. When every other power rankings has the Kansas City Chiefs as number two. So I'm just going to protest that and be a homer. I'm sorry, Kevin.
Well, they will play each other this year.
Yes, they will play each other this year. So coming in at number three on the CBS Sports, the Kansas City Chiefs. Number four, the Los Angeles Rams. Number five, the Dallas Cowboys.
Hold up. There is someone on ESPN that thinks that your Chiefs should be at number one. Someone who I can't stand, by the way. But he made a good argument.
Would that be Ryan Clark?
No, that would be Stephen A. Smith.
Oh, he really? I have not heard Stephen A.'s rant.
Yes, he put he picked the top five in his power rankings, and he put the Chiefs above the Patriots. Patriots at number two. He also had the Packers in there as well. He also had the Rams in there. And I think he also had the Cowboys as well, I think.
Which must have killed him because I know he hates the Dallas Cowboys.
But he did put the Chiefs at number one.
So I have to ask you this, Kevin. What was Stephen A. Smith's argument for Kansas City that you found convincing?
He thought it was part of it had to do with the Patriots' schedule and who they've played and how the opponents have fared since then. The point that he made was that the overall engine of the Chiefs, I'm not quoting him directly here, I'm paraphrasing. Of all the parts and pieces that they have, that they are the stronger team.
Yeah. Now, I did hear him on the radio that he was talking a little bit about, he wasn't doing his power rankings, that's why. But he talked about how Kansas City is doing this with their two main running backs banged up, without Tyreek Hill, without their starting all-pro left tackle, and they're not missing a beat. So,
well, it was on that show where those guys are on the table and they yell at each other.
Oh, First Take.
Yeah, First Take. So,
well, let's continue, because coming in at number six, the undefeated, this one's for you, Bob, Buffalo Bills. Number seven, the still undefeated San Francisco 49ers. At eight, the Baltimore Ravens. Nine, the New Orleans Saints. 10, the Indianapolis Colts. 11, the technically undefeated Detroit Lions at 2-0-1.
Yeah, that technically they're undefeated.
After that, we kind of start getting in the bunch of the Vikings, the Bears, the Seahawks, the Texans, the Chargers, the Falcons, Eagles, and Browns, and the Panthers rounding out the top 20. Anybody in there that you feel like a little too high, a little too low?
I'm a little suspect with the Vikings being at 12. I'd rather see the Bears, Seahawks, or Texans. Just because one convincing win over the Raiders, I think, is fooling some people here.
Well, they won pretty convincingly in week one as well, so. But I could see the Bears being over them, so. It's interesting. We're almost to that quarter pole already, so things are gonna be interesting with that, so. Let's talk a little NFL news. And you know what? The big story coming out of this weekend, Kevin, was new quarterbacks starting everywhere, it felt like. At least a third of the league, whether it was, of course, Gardner Minshew's continuing. He's starting for Jacksonville. We covered that a little bit when we talked about what happened in week three. Kyle Allen starting for the Carolina Panthers. Teddy Bridgewater getting his first start in a few years for the Saints. Daniel Jones getting his first start. Mason Rudolph for the Steelers. And we just don't talk about the Jets around here.
bummer for Mason Rudolph. But Kyle Allen, I have a feeling he could steal a job there.
Here's the thing with Kyle Allen. I actually watched a game he played at the end of the season last year against Tampa, and he was pretty impressive looking.
Yeah.
He's got a nice handle on the football. And we might as well hit up with this story, too, because Kyle's going to be the starter for the Carolina Panthers, at least for the foreseeable future, because Cam Newton is apparently dealing with a Lisfranc foot injury, which those are tricky. Yeah. And sometimes they require surgery, and sometimes they just linger and linger.
But I'm saying is if Kyle Allen shows promise and brings in some more victories there, I could see Cam Newton sitting. I could definitely see that. Because Daniel Jones has got the job. Okay.
Yeah.
Teddy Bridgewater is interim, and Mason Rudolph is pretty much has this job for this year.
Yeah.
But Kyle Allen, I could see stealing this job if he does well.
Yeah. If Kyle Allen plays well, you could very easily see Cam Newton on another team next year.
And personally, I'm not a Cam Newton fan.
Yep.
Do you know where that started?
That was back from the Super Bowl, if I remember correctly.
Yep. biggest sore loser of all time, and I've seen him do that. I'm just not impressed with him as a person.
Yeah, no, I can get that. I know he does a lot of good charity stuff in Carolina, but I just do not like the way he conducts himself.
Yeah.
So, the other really big story of this week is what happened in the Bucks game. Daniel Jones had a very impressive win. He played very well. I got to watch most of that game as it being in the Tampa Bay area and seeing that. Daniel Jones was impressive, especially considering he played the entire second half of that game and is going to be for the next 4 to 8 weeks without Saquon Barkley as fantasy owners.
4 to 8 or 4 to 6?
It's 4 to 8. That was okay. A typo on my part. Fantasy owners everywhere are going, that had the number one overall pick in their fantasy drafts, are not real happy right now.
Yeah, you know what's interesting is I got Saquon Barkley in my Silver and Black UK league at the number 4 pick.
Interesting.
And I was excited about that, and now I'm not.
Yeah, he has a high ankle sprain, which is about the worst injury a running back can have.
Yeah.
This will be very interesting, and it's going to make for some interesting fantasy football things coming up. So, yeah, it's been a otherwise it's been a fairly quiet week around the league, Kevin.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, obviously I think the big news has been all of the new quarterbacks, because that's always fun. It's always fun to speculate. They're on that fast take thing or whatever it was called with Stephen A. Smith and crew. They were debating the whole Daniel Jones and Baker Mayfield thing. You know, who would you rather have now? You know,
I think I'd still lean towards Baker, but Daniel, I need to see Daniel Jones a little bit more, but he was impressive. So with that, let's take a look ahead to what's coming up in week 4, Kevin. And we have a Thursday night game that is legitimately interesting in watching, as the Philadelphia Eagles are going to be at the Green Bay Packers. This might be do or die time for Philadelphia already. If they lose this game, they fall to 1-3, Kevin.
Yeah, I don't see them winning this game. I really don't.
Yeah, I don't either. Green Bay is tough in Lambeau. Philly's got a lot of injuries. I feel bad. I feel this is a team that really has been destroyed by injuries.
Yeah.
DeSean Jackson, like 3 of their starting defensive linemen, Alshon Jeffrey, a couple of their cornerbacks. This team has been devastated by injuries early in the season. But are there any other games on the week 4 docket that grab your attention?
Honestly, because it's interesting, the line too, because as of lately, especially after the last couple of weeks, I'm not used to seeing the line this low for a New England game. But the New England and Buffalo game, I want to see Buffalo. It's at Buffalo, too. I would just love for them to surprise people with this. I don't see them winning it, but I would definitely watch it and support Buffalo and hoping that they would beat New England.
Yeah, I think that's going to be an interesting game. That could be a very low-scoring game. Those are two really good defenses going at each other.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Well, there's one that grabs me is Carolina at Houston, because I'm really curious about Kyle Allen's follow-up now that he's going to play a little bit more legitimate defense in the Houston Texans.
The Giants-Washington game. Seeing what Daniel Jones is all about. That's another one I would actually like to watch, because those are good divisional rival games that are always fun to watch.
Yeah, I agree with you. And you know what? Having these young quarterbacks does make it a little bit more interesting to watch, even if they're not a great team.
Mm-hmm.
So
the Sunday night game, Dallas at New Orleans, that looked a lot better on the schedule before we lost Breeze. But still, I think it'll be entertaining.
Yeah. Let's not forget about the other game of undefeated teams, as Kansas City is going to Detroit. I don't think Detroit's going to be undefeated after this week, Kevin.
Yeah, I don't think Detroit's going to beat KC.
I don't think they have the speed to cover the Kansas City receivers. And
Detroit defense, though, better than we thought that they would be?
Is it better than we thought it would be, or is it because of who they've played?
It's one way you can look at it, yeah.
So I think it's a little bit here or there. But anybody playing Kansas City defensively is going to have a huge test there. I would like to see the Kansas City defense pick it up a little bit. They've been struggling against the run, but a lot of that is too because they've been allowing teams to run the football because they're trying to play catch up and kill clock.
Yep. And my Oakland Raiders are heading to Indianapolis. Indianapolis is favored by 7. I remember seeing the Raiders play. I traveled to Indianapolis about 3 or 4 years ago, I think it was. I have to say, even though they lost then to Andrew Luck, it was still an enjoyable experience. Indianapolis is a fun town to visit. Their fans are great. That stadium is really cool. Boy, the Raiders are looking right now. I'm not expecting them to win that game.
Okay, Kevin, I just have to throw this out. Could Charger Luck strike again, and could somehow Miami pull the upset?
Or at least stay within the line here. Who knows? Yeah. Gosh.
This might be the lowest line for a Miami game this season so far.
16 Chargers are favored at, and it's at Miami too. Gosh.
Another game that actually looks very interesting on the docket is Minnesota at Chicago.
Yep. Yep.
And in a game ESPN probably wishes they could give away, the Cincinnati Bengals at the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Monday night, blah, football. Yeah.
I will say, I have thoroughly enjoyed, I shouldn't say, it's thoroughly improved just having Booger McFarland and Mark Tessador in the booth by themselves without Jason Witten and not having Booger down on the field.
I just can't call him Booger. Oh, jeez.
I get that. He played here.
I can't take him seriously with a name like Booger. I just can't. But,
I will say this. I think he brings some good energy to the Monday Night Football booth and is a little bit more reserved than he was last year, but still making some really interesting observations. So I like what they've
been doing. Okay. He's all right.
Yeah. I mean, they're not. It's not the best Monday Night Football booth ever, but it's definitely an improvement from last season.
Yeah.
So, well, with that, we're going to take a quick break here.
Real quick, by the way, just mention that we do have two teams on byes, and that's the Jets and San Francisco.
Well, it's the Jets. Does anybody notice anyway?
Not really, no.
Yeah, I was going to say. With that, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back to, of course, provide patented, top-notch, mediocre fantasy football advice, as only the End Zone can do.
Thank you for listening. We hope you're enjoying this podcast. We'd like to recommend these other great podcasts on the Fandom Podcast Network. It starts with our flagship show, Culture Clash, our weekly pop culture podcast with the latest news, reviews, and other fun topics in pop culture. For you Highlander fans, we've got Blood of Kings, a Highlander podcast where we cover all things Highlander. Couch Potato Theater is for you movie buffs, our podcast celebrating the cult classics and fan favorite movies we don't get off the couch for. Time Warp, a look back on our classic and nostalgic fandoms that we still celebrate today. We also have End Zone for you NFL fans, our podcast talking about all things current in the NFL and giving our best mediocre fantasy football advice. Good Evening, an Alfred Hitchcock podcast with hosts Tom, Brandon, and Chris discussing the master of suspense, Alfred Hitchcock. And for you Star Trek Discovery and Orville fans, we have Discoville, talking about everything Discovery and the Orville. And for you hard rock music fans, we have the Hair Metal podcast. The Hair Metal Podcast rediscovers the nostalgia of the 1980s hair metal bands. And we also have Type 40, a Doctor Who podcast, where we discuss all things Doctor Who, both past and present. And our newest podcast, Lethal Mullet, our podcast celebrating action movies from the 1980s with your host, Adam P. O'Brien. You can find these great shows on the Fandom Podcast Network master feed at fpnet.podbean.com. The Fandom Podcast Network is on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Google Play, and now on Spotify. On Facebook, you can find us at Fandom Podcast Network, on Instagram, Fandom Podcast Network, and also on Twitter at FanPod Network. You can also email us directly at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening and supporting the Fandom Podcast Network. And remember, respect others and enjoy your fandom.
Well, we hope you're enjoying all the great shows here at the Fandom Podcast Network as we try to give you some podcasts to feed your ears through your day. But Kevin, it's time. Mediocre fantasy football advice. I know you have some top-notch for us this week. We're about to hit the quarter pole of fantasy football season and the NFL season. Things are starting to take some shape here. of who looks like they're going to be around for the season and who might be, why did I draft this guy in the first place? Is there anybody?
Which is going to introduce a segment very soon of cast off from Fantasy Island.
Yeah, Island, yes. So since we're talking about that, who might you be looking at could possibly be getting ready to walk the plank if they don't turn it around this week?
So one of my biggest pet peeves that I'm hearing with fantasy shows is when they refer to a player as he must be rostered in 100% of leagues. And I'm seeing this term used all the time for so many players. And I think when the people say this on either fantasy podcasts or fantasy shows or whatever, how big are their rosters? Are they like 30 team rosters? Like, how big do they think you are? I mean, you can't do that with all of these choices. And what is very annoying is that you need the hot hand to put on your teams. I hate rostering people for handcuffs, especially for more than one major players. And unless someone is injured, then they're worthy. But you can't bet on that. And Malcolm Brown is one of those guys, the backup for the Los Angeles Rams running back, who got two fluke touchdowns in the first game and has done nothing since the last two games.
Yeah, no, I can see that. You know what, though, Kevin? I have bigger...
Hold on. I want some more sympathy here. You're just kind of casting off my suggestion and the points that I just made.
Doesn't that bug you too?
Like,
In ways, yes, it bugs me, but the problem is when you look at the Los Angeles Rams, how they're using Todd Gurley is so bizarre right now.
You could talk about Todd Gurley too, but I'm just talking about the whole fantasy outlook of you have to have all of these players as handcuffs. It's like, no, you got to have people that are not handcuffed and they're actually playing first.
I think the problem with that is, especially with the way running backs are used in the league anymore, name me one team outside of the New York Giants and Dallas Cowboys who have just that one back who carries the workload.
Well, that's what you're kind of hoping on and betting on. I mean, it's like, how many handcuffs can you afford to keep on your thing? If you have one of these top draft picks, I can understand one maybe, but how many of these handcuffs are worth it? I mean, do you consider Gallman a handcuff now? No.
No, you call it Sir Gallman an injury replacement.
I mean, it's one of the more frustrating things about fantasy football and the supposed experts when they start talking about that stuff.
Well, I don't have
30 people on my bench. If I did, I would do that, but I don't.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where you have to kind of look at, I think you have to take it situation by situation. I think if you have Todd Gurley, it's a wise decision. If you have one of those last roster spots to have a Malcolm Brown, especially with the way things are. But don't draft Malcolm Brown if you don't have Todd Gurley.
Same thing with Latavius Murray, you know? I mean, he has done nothing the last few games as well. It's frustrating. It really, really is.
Yeah. But you know what? I'm going with a big dog for somebody who I'm kind of watching. He needs to do something. But you know what, Kevin? I even said before the season started in fantasy football drafts, this was somebody who a lot of people were taking with a number one pick that I wouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole, and that is Le'Veon Bell.
He's been okay. Has he been that bad? He's on a bye this week.
Yeah, but he did nothing against the Patriots. He had a decent game in the Jets first week, and it hasn't really done much. And with their quarterbacking situation, he's not going to get, it's going to be 8-man in the box.
So what, are you going to go to Ty Montgomery? Is that who this backup
no,
is?
No, I don't think there's anybody on the Jets offense that's even worth touching right now.
Yeah. Well, I guess it depends on your scoring, but, he had 21 carries in week two. 17 week one, but he got the TD against Buffalo in week one. Yeah, I'm not ready to call it on him yet.
But yes, we will start expelling people from Fantasy Island starting next week. So who knows, that there will be some blood in the water, Kevin.
Yep.
So So with that, though, let's talk about some good things, that which means our Jimmy G Cube Man Crush Award. Mm-hmm. Now, Kevin, would you like me to go first?
Yeah, you go first. You go first.
Okay. Well, my honorable mention this week is Mike Evans of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who has not played well in the first two games of the season. He was with the flu in week one. In week two, he caught a couple of long passes but didn't really find the end zone. Well, he more than made up for it this week, because it looks like he's kind of refound his rapport with Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston hit him for 3 touchdowns in the first half against the New York Giants, Kevin.
Nice. Very nice.
But he is not my pick of the week for the Jimmy GQ Man Crush Award. Oh, no. We're going with one of the new young guns on the scene. That would be Kyle Allen of the Carolina Panthers, who totaled 4 touchdowns altogether, put up some very solid numbers, and looked really impressive. And like we talked about earlier, could maybe even be possibly stealing that starting job in Carolina, Kevin.
Yeah, that's a good choice, definitely. I think honorable mention, I would go with Danny Dimes, you know, just for making a good first impression, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah. Four total touchdowns, including 2 rushing touchdowns. Heck yeah.
Yes. And just, you know, just kind of showing the New York audience that, you know, he's for real. And, you know, being mobile is good, too. So that's a good thing. So he's an honorable mention for me. Tough to decide who was going to get like the next honorable mention as, or the actual Man Crush Award. But I'm going to go honorable mention here. Especially for the starving position of tight end, I'm going to go with Will Disley.
Yeah. He's been playing well for Seattle.
Yes. Surprisingly well, he went through some injuries last year and he's been productive for fantasy wise. And I highly recommend, if he hasn't been picked up already, try and gather him up. But you know what? I'm going to go on New York state of mind here. I'm going to go with Sterling Shepard coming back from a concussion and getting 7 grabs for 100 yards and a touchdown after his concussion, and helping New York get that victory. So Sterling Shepard gets my Man Crush of the Week award. Jimmy GQ Man Crush Award.
That's a good transition into waiver wire pickups, Kevin, because I noticed a lot in a lot of leagues, people were starting to drop Sterling Shepard already because of the injuries and with the uncertainty of the Giants quarterback situation. I saw him on a lot of waivers.
He was dropped because of the concussion. But I picked him up in a couple of leagues because he is the number one receiver for the Giants. And I'm thinking, well, you know, Danny Dimes is going to have to throw to someone, and he sure did.
Yep. So he's a name to watch, but there are a few other names out there. Kyle Allen, a lot of people might be jumping on him this week. If you haven't picked up Mecole Hardman yet, what's wrong with you, first of all?
Yeah.
he's if nothing else, he seems to be taking place, filling in for the Tyreek Hill long ball at the moment. Wayne Gallman, the running back for the New York Giants, is going to be their starter going forward until Saquon Barkley comes back. Another interesting name is Philip Dorsett of the New England Patriots, especially with Antonio Brown out of the picture now, and Julian Edelman hurt, could possibly miss a couple of games.
Yeah, he's been very productive for the Pats. Golden Tate's coming off suspension. A lot of people didn't pick him up at first. He's in definitely someone you probably want to check in, because I think his suspension is up after this fourth game, right?
Yep. You guys got a lot of key players. Not so much Morris Claiborne, if you're looking at Kansas City's defense. I don't know why you would, but he comes back.
I'm having trouble with one of these names on here because I think the running backs are too fluky, and I haven't bought into the Ronald Jones the second thing there in Tampa Bay.
And I would not yet either on that. It's too much of a mess with the running back situation in Tampa Bay. But I'll tell you a name. If you're looking for some tight end help, Dawson Knox, tight end of the Buffalo Bills. This guy is getting more and more playing time and becoming a favorite target of Jared Allen.
Jeffrey Wilson, now that he's in a bye, he seems to just score touchdowns. I think he's more of the vulture type of player.
Very much so.
But those guys, if they're consistent, they're worth picking up. I'm curious to see if he's going to get a little more downfield action instead of just in the red zone. Rex Burkhead, did we talk about him yet?
We have not talked about Rex Burkhead.
Crowded backfield, but he seems to be a safety net yet again for Tom Brady in those quick dump-offs. He always seems to be in the receiving, and he's scoring touchdowns.
Yeah, and I got one more name to throw out for you, Deontay Johnson, wide receiver, Pittsburgh. He seems to have a nice little thing going on with Mason Rudolph. If Mason Rudolph starts improving, his numbers could go up.
Too soon for me to trust. I'm not going to go on that one. I'd rather go after your Darrell Williams running back there. He seems to look promising at Kansas City. Yep.
So, well, with that, that kind of gives us some ideas of who you might look for in the waiver wire pickup. But, Kevin, how did we do in fantasy this week?
Well, let's talk about the Trophy League. Let's do that, right?
Let's please talk about the Trophy League.
Which you are the reigning champion from last year. So, pulling up the thing. By the way, I just want to mention, it's very frustrating. I can't stand Yahoo Leagues for this particular reason. I'm in one of the leagues, and I lost 125.94 to 125.04. I hate that. I hate losing by percentage points. I just rather lose by 1 point. It sucks, but anyway. Anyway, back to the Trophy League here. So we have the East team. You are tied for first place. Kyle's Commandos and my buddy there in Germany, the Wuppertal Frogs. And behind that is Sin City Raiders, my buddy Chappie at 1-2, and Team Elliot and Santa Barbara Career Killer at 0-3. Over on the West, I am in first place at 3-0, with my buddy Bob at Make It So at 2-1. Jen's team, Charlie's Nuts, is tied for him at 2-1. And the other team is Los Angeles DeBats at 1-2 and Ojai Zen Raiders at 0-3. So we'll see how things go. Kyle, any particular players on your team that are doing very well?
Well, Patrick Mahomes, obviously lighting it up for me. Of course, I'm running with Lamar Jackson.
Whoa.
You're right. Sorry. Mixing my ESPN leagues up. But Lamar Jackson's been playing very well for me in the ESPN league. You know what?
Trophy league that we're talking about.
Yeah, this is a trophy league. It's been a weird year for me in the trophy league. My defense in the trophy league has actually been playing very well.
Who do you have?
New England.
Yep, I have New England in another league, and they are, of course, look who they're playing, but yeah.
So I actually picked them up after week one, but you know, Travis Kelce's been actually very big for me. It's just been, I've had a lot of guys, nobody's doing spectacular, but they're just putting up solid points. Josh Jacobs, Travis Kelce has been a standout. David Johnson's, he puts up numbers. He puts up yardage and fantasy numbers. I've got a couple guys on my bench who might start seeing a little more time. Mark Andrews of Cleveland, will be a nice fill-in, but Michael Gallup is due back here in about another week, and I'm looking forward to seeing what he's going to do in Dallas, because he was putting up some nice numbers early on before he got hurt as well. But it's just been consistency for my team. I haven't had anybody really have bad weeks.
Some consistency too, especially in the quarterback position. I have Deshaun Watson and I have Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
Deshaun, actually, I was considering him for the Man Crush of the Week award, and maybe I'll give it to him next week if he continues. But, you know, Ezekiel's one of my starters, Mark Ingram. James Conner's been disappointing, though, I got to say. I hope they turn things around there. He's getting touches, but he's just not cashing those in as much as I want. But Terry McLaurin. Again, another touchdown.
Yep.
Scoring McLaurin, as they call him. I have Edelman. Tyrell Williams also got another touchdown. Defense. I actually have two defenses I'm holding on to. I got the Packers and the Bears. So I'm a little worried, though, about my bench. I got John Brown, got Chris Thompson. Malcolm Brown, I think I'm going to drop. Not a fan of his right now. So
yeah. Well, I know it was
by
a rough
way,
week
also,
for me.
Hold on. Robert Woods getting outshined by everyone else. He's not getting the love.
Nope, he's not. Cooper Kupp is the man.
Yes, and Los Brandon Angeles. Cooks.
Yep. It was a rough week for me. Otherwise, CBS Sports League, the guy I played had the best week of anybody in the league. I mean, he just smoked the entire league. He had Alvin Kamara and just everybody he'd had had like a perfect fantasy game.
Right.
And then in our other ESPN league, I lost by in a very close game, but I just had some guys who just didn't quite pull through like they should have this week.
That is that's the league that I've actually had the longest. That's the regular ESPN league there. I am actually 3-0 in that one as well. Doing all right in that one.
Well, hey, there you go. How are you doing in the Raider, in the Silver and Black UK league?
1-2, I think. Yeah.
Speaking of fantasy football leagues, I tagged you in a Twitter post, and I don't know if you have seen it yet or not, Kevin.
What's that?
You remember a few weeks ago, I might not have been here, but it might have been on Culture Clash. We were talking about a fantasy league that we both would have actually loved to have been in part of, and that is the Avengers Fantasy League.
Oh, yeah. No, I didn't see this, man.
Chris Pratt posted the standings currently of the Avengers Fantasy League.
Everyone in the Avengers movies in the league, this is awesome. Okay, so who's winning?
Okay, well, I need to... Well, Chris Pratt posted it because he is 3-0 with the highest score.
I'm curious at, who's on his team. Yeah.
Well, yeah, you don't get to see the...
Does this also include, like, the Russos, the directors?
Because
I know they play in the ESPN Celebrity League.
Okay, so... There's a big note on this that Pratt made, but so here are the standings of the Avengers Fantasy League if you follow Chris Pratt.
Okay.
On. So in first place at 3-0-0 with leading because he has the highest scoring team in the league, Team Pratt. Also at 3-0-0 is Teams Hemsworth and Team Reynolds.
Wow. Wait. Reynolds?
Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, Ryan Reynolds.
Yes. In second place, Miles Teller with 2-1.
Okay.
Also tied in second place, Team Barry, Matthew Barry of ESPN Fantasy Football.
Who had a small part in the Avengers movie.
Yes. Also tied at 2-1, Team Rudd, of course, Paul Rudd, Ant-Man himself. At 1-2 is Team Downey Jr.
Wow.
Also at 1-2 is Team Mackie.
Okay.
Also at 1-2 is Team Evans.
I like how they all have to use their real names.
Yeah.
so you know who they are.
Here's one I was excited to see that this person is part of this league. Also at 1-2, Team Gillen.
Karen Gillen, really?
Also at 1-2, Team Russo.
Okay, the Russo brothers. Yep, that makes sense.
Also at 1-2, there's a Team Jordan. I think that's somebody who is probably like one of the producers or something along those lines, or special effects people.
Hmm.
Also at 1-2, or no, I'm sorry, coming up, bringing up the rear at 0-3, Team Olsen.
Team Olsen, huh?
And finally, also bringing up the rear at 0-3, Team Holland.
Team Holland. What I'm wondering is if it was Matthew Barry that kind of orchestrated all this. That's what I'm kind of curious about.
Actually, no. The Russo brothers orchestrated this.
Okay.
They were huge fans of Matthew Barry for fantasy football purposes. And when he was at the Avengers studio, they invited him to filming his part in the Avengers. They invited him to be part of the league.
Because the Russos have been in the ESPN Celebrity League prior. And probably still are in that one with Matthew Barry and several other celebrities that are not part of the MCU universe. But
I don't even want to be part of the league per se, but I would just love to be at the draft party.
Yeah, that would be fun. That's awesome.
So, well, Kevin, with that, do you have any last minute NFL news or NFL anything you want to throw out fantasy wise before we get out of here?
I'm just trying to prep myself for another painful season of being a Raiders fan.
Mm. I'm trying to prep myself for Patrick Mahomes throwing 6,000 yards this year.
He just might.
Yeah. It is impressive. It's fun to watch. And I think even you as a Raiders fan, as painful as it is as a football fan, you probably do at least enjoy watching him play quarterback.
No, I don't. Sorry. I don't.
You don't like fun football?
No, because it's painful that it's a painful reminder of where the Raiders are not. So, you know, as impressive that he is, I'm sorry, but I don't enjoy it.
No, I do have to admit, I got a kick out of what our good buddy Murph did after the Raiders Chiefs game, where when Micah Fitzpatrick was still available, he put out a poll. Seeing as we can't cover anybody on the Kansas City Chiefs, should we trade for one of our first round picks for Micah Fitzpatrick?
Yeah, there's also the question of trying to get Jalen Ramsey as well for one of those picks and something else.
Yeah, so, well, with that, it's been another fun-filled week here at the End Zone. We will try to get Kevin cheered up. I think even if the Raiders put in a competitive showing, he'll be a little happier next week. Yeah. Or either that, or we're going to start him on a tequila drip.
Moving on.
Okay, well, with that, we are going to sit here. We're going to call an audible, and we hope that we once again fortune leads you and your team well.
Oh, wait, hold on. What? Hold on. There was a topic I was going to bring up. I'm not done yet.
I'm not done yet.
Hot take.
Kevin's calling an audible.
Okay. This, you know how you make these decisions when you're either taking a shower or you're contemplating football or whatever it is, and you're like, okay, I'm going to do this. And I was having a discussion with my buddy Bob about this. If the Patriots make it to another Super Bowl, I told myself, I think for the first time in as long as I can remember, I probably will not watch that Super Bowl. Maybe I'll go down to Disneyland or do something where everyone is at home watching the Super Bowl and take advantage of the lack of people around you. So, Kyle, do you plan on watching the Super Bowl if the Patriots make it? Because Bob's argument was, and I kind of agreed with him to a certain degree, it depends on who's in that Super Bowl. Because right now it feels like no one can beat them in the NFC right now. But obviously seeing Philadelphia beat them that one time and going back to the Giants wins and stuff like that. For those that are getting tired of seeing the Patriots in the Super Bowl and winning them, what's your take?
Well, okay. First of all, let's address the important thing in the room.
No. Don't talk about the Chiefs right now, okay? Okay, I know you're saying the Chiefs could blah, 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 but I'm talking about if the Patriots are in the Super Bowl. Let's stick to that, okay?
Okay. If they're in the Super Bowl, to me, it depends on who they're playing. If it's a team that I think – there are a couple teams in the NFC I think do have a legit shot at beating the Patriots. I think the Dallas Cowboys, because I think the Dallas Cowboys can run control with Ezekiel Elliott, and the way they are playing right now is really impressive. I do think the Green Bay Packers have the defense.
But it's Dallas.
I know it's Dallas. But at this point, if I can see the Patriots lose, it's even a better thing.
That was the argument that Bob had. Is like, what about the chance of seeing the Patriots lose? You know,
I guess because I felt that
last Super Bowl was just so ugly. It was one of the worst Super Bowls, not just because the Patriots won, but we were expecting a much better game and a much better output by, you know, the L.A. Rams.
Yeah. Well, like I said, Kevin, too, it really doesn't matter. This is the year Jedi Mahomes strikes down Darth Vader and the evil empire and saves us all, saves the NFL from the dark side.
Good luck with that.
Actually, I'm trying to brighten your day in any way possible.
You're going to have to end up going to – the Chiefs are going to have to go to Foxborough, dude. Unless something happens to the Patriots, it goes through the bot road through the Patriots. That's why the Patriots will never lose a home game going overseas.
Well, you know, all I'm going to say is, Buffalo, I'm looking at you to at least beat up the Patriots this weekend.
And sorry, Pete, but you know, I'm tired of seeing your team in the Super Bowl. Just not fun anymore. Sorry.
I think unless you're a New England fan, everybody's tired of seeing the Patriots in the Super Bowl. But okay, with that, Kevin's audible is out of the way. we're going to audible ourselves and do everything we can to lead you this weekend into the end zone.